Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to each of you mothers, grandmothers. This morning, I would like to share a Mother's Day message in honor of our mothers here this morning. And yes, mothers, it truly is a blessing for what you, the role that you play in our lives. It's powerful. It's said that a motherhood is not merely a biological role. It is a divine calling with eternal rewards. You know, we live in a day and age, we live in a culture where motherhood is oftentimes minimized, and even at times, motherhood is redefined. But God's word elevates motherhood as one of the most powerful positions for shaping lives, destinies, and generations. You know, there's the old saying, kind of goes along with what Dwayne shared, the old saying that behind every great man is a good woman. Well, Scripture would consistently show to us that behind many of the great men and women in Scripture, there stood a faithful mother. And we could look at that. We could look at Scripture and just, for instance, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We know Jesus as the greatest that ever walked this earth. But he had a mother. He had a faithful mother. A mother who began by, you know, here I am. She was submissive. She was willing. She had the opportunity to raise the Savior of the world. Then there's Hannah, the mother of Samuel. We know Samuel as a great leader, as a prophet. And yet Hannah, his mother, she was a praying woman. There before she had children, she was struggling with the ability to have a child. She was promised a child. She dedicated that child to the service of the Lord at the temple. Again, the mother of a great man. There was Eunice and Lois. It was the mother and grandmother of Timothy. Again, Timothy, we know him as a great man in the early church, a church leader. But it was from his mother and his grandmother. They instilled into him the Holy Scriptures that the Bible tells us at a young age. So we have these faithful mothers that raised up these great men of Scripture. Excuse me. This morning, there's another mother that I would like to look at, another faithful mother, and that is the mother of Moses. The mother of Moses. Who can tell me what Moses' mother's name was? Anybody? Jochebed. There you go. That's right. As I think about Jochebed, I tried to decide what do I title the message this morning. There's probably a number of different titles. I chose on simply the faithfulness of a mother. We could call it the impact of a mother or the imprint of a faithful mother, but I settled on we'll simply call it the faithfulness of a mother. I'd like to just begin by kind of a little bit of an introduction of Jochebed. So we know Moses. We know more about Moses than we do Jochebed, but we know Moses as this great leader of the children of Israel. And God used Moses in a great and mighty way. I mean, he was the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt. God used him as the lawgiver. But Moses' story begins with the courageous faith of his mother. Her story includes risky creativity. It includes divine trust. And our lesson this morning fits well with Jochebed. Her story includes a powerful influence that she had on Moses at a critical time in his life, those young first couple of years, the difference that she made. She is a woman of extraordinary courage and creative faith. As she faced this decree by Pharaoh that every young boy was to be put to death, was to be drowned in the Nile River, Jochebed refused to be paralyzed by this fear. Instead, she trusted in the sovereignty of God. She carefully prepared that ark for her son, and then she placed him in the hands of the Almighty God. Again, a picture of trust. Jochebed's brief time that she had with her son during the critical days or time in his life, she was intentional about her influence in Moses' life. She successfully instilled in Moses a Hebrew identity that no amount of Egyptian education could erase. I believe that God honors the faith of parents who are willing to release their children into God's providential care, and that's exactly what Jochebed did. She needed to let go and let God. I invite you to turn with me this morning to Exodus chapter 2 to look at the account of Jochebed. Her setting is here that Jochebed is married to a man named Amram. It's interesting that Jochebed's husband was her nephew, if I understand scriptures correctly. So Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, "And Amram took unto him Jochebed, his father's sister." So he married his aunt, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And it goes on and says the years of his life were 137. So we have Jochebed and Amram. We have three known children that they have. It's Miriam and Aaron and Moses. And according to commentaries, it would put Moses was the youngest of the three. And so we have Jochebed. She's living there in Egypt. It's a very difficult time. The children of Israel are multiplying, and Pharaoh is getting concerned with this, and Pharaoh is trying to stop the growth of the children of Israel. He begins by making life very difficult for the children of Israel. It says that he gave them hard labor, but it seemed like it only multiplied his problems. It didn't help. His plan didn't stop the problem. His plan didn't stop the problem. So then he goes on and he instructs the midwives to kill the male children that they're being born. And well, that didn't work either. And so he comes with this mandate that all newborn Jewish males, boys, were to be thrown into the Nile River and to be drowned. And so that's the mandate that stands. And it's at this time that Jochebed finds herself, she gives birth to a baby boy. Now I'm sure for this mandate from Pharaoh, it created an atmosphere of terror throughout the Jewish families. And it really doesn't tell us in Scripture how this mandate actually, if it actually worked or not. Did it serve its purpose? We're not exactly sure there. But we have Jochebed. She gives birth to this, this boy. The mandate is to throw them into the Nile River. She has some big decisions to make. What does she do? What is she going to do with this? This morning, I want to look at four choices that I see that Jochebed made. Four choices. The first choice is that Jochebed chose life. Jochebed chose life. In verse 2, actually, let's read the text. I didn't read that yet. Exodus chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. And it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and put pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked among the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I have drawn him out of the water.'" So as Jochebed chose life, she had a decision to make. What was she going to do with the child? And she chose not to put the child into the Nile River at this point. In verse 2, it tells us that as she gave birth to this child, that she saw him, that he was a goodly child. A goodly child. I looked into this word goodly, and it is the same Hebrew word that was used of God at creation. When God, at the end of a day, God looked at creation and God said it was good. And then at the end of the creation, he said it was very good. That word good, it's the same word that said of Moses, he was a goodly child. God said his creation was good. The word kind of has a broad meaning to a degree. It has the idea of good and pleasant, agreeable, better, fairer. There's several times in Scripture where it talks about a woman that she was fair to look upon. I think of that as it was a beautiful woman. But it's the same word here. This goodly child. It's that same concept, that same word. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, it's talking about Saul. It says that Saul was a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. Again, it's that same concept, that same word. This is describing this young child that Jochebed had. He was a good child. It's also used of David in 1 Samuel 16. It says, "And he brought him, and now he was ruddy." This was when Saul was anointing David as king. And it says, "Withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him. David was described this same way. He was goodly to look to. Now, if we go to Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. There, he was a proper child. So that the word that is used there has the idea of handsome. Handsome. Acts chapter 7, verse 20 says, at which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. So I'm not sure what it was about this child. What did Moses look like when he was born? What this baby looked like to Jochebed? She chose life for him. There was something, I believe, that as Jochebed looked at this child, that there was something very special. I just picture him as being a perfect baby. Everything was just perfect about him. I don't know for sure what it all meant, but as Jochebed looked at her son, she saw something extraordinary special. And she says, no, I am not going to follow the king's orders. I am going to choose life for my son. I am going to choose to keep this child. Jochebed, I believe, in bravery and godly fear, chose life. She went against the king's order for 3 months. It says she hid the child for 3 months. I'm sure that she had her husband's support as she did this. This was not just Jochebed. It was a choice that they mutually made. It tells there in that verse in Hebrews 11 that I read, it says that it was by faith. By faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. It was in faith that they did this. Jochebed, in faith, chose life. And it says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In their choosing life, they did not live in fear of the king's commandment. Mothers here this morning, thank you for choosing life like Jochebed did. Choosing life for your children. You know, we live in a day and age, we live in a world where there's many mothers who are not choosing life, or many women, I should say, who are not choosing life. And we're not going to go into the whole subject of abortion this morning. But there's those who do not choose life. Jochebed chose life. And you, mothers, have chosen life. Jochebed was pro-life. The second thing that I see here of Jochebed is that Jochebed chose to obey with creativity. So for 3 months, we have Jochebed. I believe that she was devising, she was working at a plan of creativity and obedience. How could she obey the king and still choose life for her son? Well, the answer came in an ark of bulrushes. The answer was that ark made out of bulrushes. As I think about Jochebed's creativity, she went and she found some bulrushes. So as I understand, bulrushes are simply the Egyptian papyrus plant. Egyptian papyrus plant is, it's a tall plant that it's called an aquatic sedge. It was used by the ancient Egyptians to make paper as well as boats. What a combination. Isaiah chapter 18 and verse 2, it says, it sends that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters. In vessels of bulrushes. I'm not sure, maybe Jochebed held the patent for vessels of bulrushes. Was she the first one that came up with this? I don't know. Were they doing it before? Maybe. But this, on our trip, when we were over in Egypt and Israel, in Egypt, we stopped at it was a place for tourists. They want your money, of course. That was what it was all about. But they were making paper out of papyrus, the papyrus plant. And again, as I understand it, that's the same thing. That's what Jochebed would have used here, this bulrushes. And so this is it's a tender plant. It grows in the shallow waters, swampy areas. As I understand it, it can grow up to as much as 13 to 16 feet tall, sometimes even as much as 33 feet in the right conditions. This papyrus would have been abundant in the Egyptian Delta there along the Nile River. Again, it was used for making paper, and papyrus paper, that's where our word paper came from. But anyway, it would have been used to make some types of food, rope, sandals, mats, boxes, toys, and small boats. So papyrus would have been plentiful there for Jochebed. And she begins, she uses her artistic creativity to make this basket or this ark, whatever we want to call it. And then she goes on and she puts slime and pitch to waterproof it. Jochebed found a way to obey the king and at the same time save the life of her son. As I think about Jochebed's obedience to the authorities, I had to think of what Scripture calls us to. In Romans 13:1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." Powers that be, the powers that be are ordained of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto the governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." Titus 3:1, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Again, these verses, they're calling for you and I today to obey our authorities. What happens? What happens when obeying our authorities would be in conflict with God's commands? That's where Jochebed was at. Now, Jochebed did not have the Ten Commandments at that point yet. She didn't have the New Testament scriptures that we have, but God was a God who was for life. And Jochebed knew that. The king was declaring death. What does Jochebed do? That's where she was at. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." When man's commandments go against God's commandments, Scripture tells us we obey God rather than man. Now, Jochebed found a creative way to do both. This mother obeyed with creativity. She made that ark. God oftentimes gifts mothers or women with the gift of creativity, more so than necessarily us men. Sometimes some women have more creativity than others. I understand that. But mothers, I guess, as I see Jochebed here, use that creativity to honor God. Use it to honor God. That's what Jochebed did. Jochebed chose to obey with creativity. The third choice that Jochebed made was she chose to trust in her God. And this is where it goes hand in hand with our Sunday school lesson this morning. You know, the day came when Jochebed needed to put that basket with her little son into the Nile River. I'm sure that was a hard day. That was a difficult day. Bible doesn't tell us, but I can just imagine that she probably did a little bit of test with that basket. Maybe she put some rocks in there about the baby's weight, and she put it in. Would it float? Would it stay upright? Did I make this basket, this ark, correctly? And then she put that child into the basket, and she put it into the river. I believe that Jochebed, in faith, trusted that God was going to take care of her son. It was now out of her control. It was all about God. What was God going to do? As near as I can tell, there's no indication that Jochebed had an expected outcome. I don't know that she knew what was going to happen. Did she have a suspicion that maybe did she know that Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the riverbanks? I'm not sure. Was it a strategic place? I'm not sure. But I believe that she, in faith, she trusted God. God, here is my son. You got to take care of this. If my son is going to live, Lord, it's all about you and what you are going to do. Putting him into that river, in that basket, was an act of faith and trust in God. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Jochebed, I believe she hoped that God had a plan and God was going to take care of it. She could not see what was going to happen. She, in faith, hoped. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She hoped for the safety. She hoped for the saving of her son. There was no evidence, no proof that that would happen. Proverbs 3:5-6, our memory verse from our lesson this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe that Jochebed trusted in God with all her heart. She trusted that God would take care of her son. She did not lean on her own understanding. It was not about the perfect basket. It was not about what she did. It was about what God was going to do. She trusted God. Mothers, sometimes in life, we run into situations where there is simply no answers. We don't have answers. And in those times, we need to trust God, like Jochebed did. Jochebed, she chose life. Jochebed chose obedience with creativity. Jochebed chose to trust in her God. And then Jochebed chose to capitalize on her opportunity with intentional influence. Wow, that's a long title of a point. But Jochebed took advantage of the opportunity. You know the story. We read it. Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses. She adopts him. She takes him as her own son. But she allows Jochebed to be the child's nurse. Now, we don't know how long that was. How long was that period that Jochebed got to take care of her son Moses? Some commentaries would say as short as 6 months. To me, that sounds very short. I believe it was longer than that. They would also say up to 2 years. I think to me that sounds more right. Just for the sake of it, I'm thinking this morning of a two-year window. It says in verse 10, it says, "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son." So as the child grew, there was a period of time where Moses' mother had the opportunity to teach this young child. I believe that during those two short years that Jochebed instilled in that small little mind everything that she possibly could about her faith in God. She redeemed the time. She took the most of the opportunity, most of the time that she had. And she implanted in Moses' mind the truths about God. She taught him to be a Hebrew. And what she taught him, those 38 years of being an Egyptian, he still knew at the end of that he was a Hebrew. And I believe that was due to what his mother, and I'm sure the father had a role in it too, but what she instilled in that mind of that man, that young boy, at a very tender age. Jochebed had a very small window of influence, but she taught him his true identity as a child of God. And guess what? She even got paid to do it. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? It was a limited but crucial window. Mothers this morning, and fathers, we have a limited opportunity to do the same in our children's lives and our grandchildren. Yes, hopefully that time is a bit more than Jochebed had. But I believe, I know, time goes so fast. A child is born and soon they're graduating, Josh. You know, it goes so fast. That little opportunity, and we too need to make the best, the most out of those opportunities. We have one shot to do it. One opportunity to do it. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I don't believe that means that the child is never going to make any bad mistakes, but I believe it means that what we teach our children, they will never forget it. they will never forget it. This morning, in conclusion, I leave you with four foundational truths from Jochebed, and these are not original with me, but four things from Jochebed that we can take. The first is that faith refuses to be intimidated by fear. Jochebed and Amram saw the danger, but they saw God as greater than the danger. Courageous faith does not ignore the king's edict, but it refuses to let that edict dictate the family's spiritual direction. Faith, Jochebed and Amram had faith. It was not intimidated by the fear that the king put on them. They chose life anyway. In faith, they chose life. Secondly, trust requires creative action. Jochebed didn't just wish for safety. She built an ark. Faith involves doing everything within our human power, using wisdom and creativity, and then trusting God with the results that are beyond our control. Third, God works through the impossible ironies. By placing Moses in the Nile, Jochebed technically obeyed the location of the decree while subverting the intent. God responded by having the enemy's household fund the upbringing of the deliverer of his people. Again, think about it. Moses grew up in the enemy camp. Moses' life was funded by the enemy. God used that man to deliver his people from the very people that he grew up with. Wow. God has amazing ways of doing things. God works through the impossible ironies. And lastly, early training outlasts eternal pressure. The few years Jochebed had with Moses were enough to anchor his soul. She taught him who he was before the world could tell him who he should be. Let me repeat that. She taught him who he was before the world could tell him who he should be. A parent's early investment in a child's heart is the most resilient force on earth. Blessings to each of you mothers and grandmothers on this special day. Coming to church this morning, I saw two signs along the road, little signs. It says, FYI, you're awesome. I don't know what it's all about. There's some small printing of who put it there. But mothers this morning, FYI, you're awesome. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this special day. This special day that we honor mothers. The influence, the impact that they have had on each of our lives. Father, thank you for faithful mothers. Father, I just pray a special blessing upon each mother here this morning. God, may you bless them abundantly. Father, thank you for the countless hours of influence on our lives that these mothers have made. Father, we honor them this morning. Father, thank you for holding up motherhood in such a high place. And God, we're thankful for the examples of mothers like Jochebed and the difference that she made in the life of a great man, Moses. If it wouldn't be for Jochebed, we wouldn't have Moses. Father, thank you again for mothers. And God, may you bless each mother here this morning. They are special. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.